Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to have and to save the lost."
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples.
Mark chapter 14, verse 3-9. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in a home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the pure nard. She broke perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you could help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in the memory of her."
Our gracious Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. We want to thank you for each person that you've brought here this morning. And I would ask, Lord, that you could speak clearly through me, and that you, through your Spirit, would enable each one of us to be able to hear your words and to be able to be challenged by them, so that we can be transformed into people in your image for the sake of the kingdom of God. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. What a difference a meal makes. I really enjoy watching that short video clip. I've seen it a number of times. I love the fact that this group of strangers end up sharing a meal, and there is just this incredible sense of joy in that meal. I mean, did you notice that sense of joy that was present at that table? And I think it comes from the inclusion of people who are clearly different from each other, who wouldn't naturally eat together, especially not out in the hallway. But in that, there was male and female. There was old, there was young, there was black, there was white, and they were all sitting down together as one, sharing a meal, bringing different things. And for me, that was a picture of the kingdom of God. A place where people from every nation and every tribe will gather together, sharing God's values of life and joy and peace in community. For me, that is a picture of hospitality. And I want to say that I think hospitality is essential, not desirable. I think hospitality is essential to the life of every person who calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at that at why I think that, but first let's just look at what is hospitality. The dictionary describes it as the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Now, in the ancient world, the concept of hospitality was built around generosity and kindness that was shown to people who were away from home. It was all about offering them what they called guest friendship. Now, when Rob and I last year were over in India, we heard about this practice of guest is God. Now, I don't know if this is practiced all the way through India, and maybe Boban and Luke might be able to tell you the answer to that, but certainly in the northern state of Rajasthan, where we spent our time, everywhere we went, whether it was in the cities, in the small community villages, even roadside stalls, everywhere had a water pot and a cup. And we just saw strangers coming up, exchanging a greeting and having a drink of water. It was this beautiful offer of welcome and care that sat alongside the practical needs of meeting physical needs of water in the desert. The Bible talks about guest is God. It talks about God or angels being present as a guest, unexpectedly appearing in the person of a stranger. It happened to Abraham, to Lot, to Gideon, to Samson's parents, and to others. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it." I mean, how cool is that? I wonder what angels you or I might have spent time with without even realizing it. I think that's really exciting. But you know, we've somehow got this idea that hospitality is about entertaining. And so a lot of us never feel like our homes or our cooking is really good enough. I think that comes from TV shows like MasterChef and My Kitchen Rules. We think that if we ask people over, then we need to provide this very amazing, incredible food. We think that we've got to have the perfect home, like they do on the block, that all our furniture needs to match, that it's got to be the right style, the right number of cushions. If you've watched those shows, it puts incredible pressure on you to have the right food and the right house. But that's not hospitality. That's entertaining. It's not hospitality. Can I say that I am hopeless at entertaining? I can't entertain to save my life. I'm way too insecure about my cooking, as a lot of you will know. And our house is a mishmash of all sorts of things. So as far as these TV shows go, I am hopeless at those things. But I love hospitality. I love inviting people into our home and into our life. It doesn't matter that everything doesn't match. I love hospitality. And as I read through the Gospels, I see that Jesus loved hospitality too. He loved to be a guest and he loved to be a host. Think about Jesus out in the countryside feeding the 5,000 and then later the 4,000. Jesus was the host. He provided this simple meal out there in the hills. Nothing elaborate, was just bread and some fish. He met the physical needs of the people so that he could also meet their spiritual needs by providing for them so that they could stay and hear what he had to say. What about the Last Supper? Again, Jesus invites his closest friends to come and share his last Passover meal. He serves them as a host. He directs the meal. He even washes his disciples' feet. After his resurrection, John tells us that Jesus hosted a barbecue on the beach. Jesus loved to host. But the more you read through the Gospels, the more you realise that he actually loved to be a guest. His first miracle took place at a wedding in Cana. Luke describes over 8 different meals that Jesus shared in. There's the banquet at Levi's house that we read about in the first 3 Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus went out and he saw a man by the name of Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. Levi got up, he left everything and followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others ate with them. What does Jesus do after he meets Levi? He eats with him. And I think he does that so that Levi can get to know Jesus, but also so that Jesus can get to know Levi, but also get to know his friends and his family. Who were his friends? Well, they were actually undesirables in their society, tax collectors and sinners. They were the men and the women that the religious people actually avoided, but Jesus didn't. In fact, Jesus went out of his way to meet those people. He went out of his way not just to meet them, but to then share his life with them. To share his life with the people that the religious community rejected or at best ignored. See, Jesus showed a new and different way of life, and he made sure that the religious people got to see it. And he did that by eating with them too. Jesus accepted invitations from the Pharisees, the scribes, the different religious leaders, the people who actually didn't understand him, the people who failed to see the truth that was right before their eyes. It's tragic that the Messiah that they had been longing and waiting for and teaching about should be right in front of him, right in front of them, but they failed to recognize him. In Luke 11, Jesus is invited into the home of one of these Pharisees for a meal, and he uses that as an opportunity to speak about their unbearable religious demands that they place on the people. He reminds them that God desires love and kindness and mercy and justice, and he desires these things even more than he desires their religious keeping of the law. In Luke 7, Jesus goes into another one of their houses. This is the home of Simon the Pharisee. And he goes there to have dinner, and while he's there, we're told that a certain immoral woman from that city hears that Jesus is eating there. She's not invited. But she comes and she brings a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. And she knelt down behind Jesus at his feet weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and pouring perfume on them. Incredibly inappropriate behaviour from a woman who isn't even invited to be there. But Jesus uses this woman's act of sacrificial love to teach Simon and other guests about grace and gratitude. At another meal, Jesus tells a parable about a great banquet, and he uses that to teach his host about inviting the poor to the meal rather than inviting just friends. See, Jesus didn't just teach these things. He also put them into practice. And he ate with all sorts of people. He ate with family, with friends. He ate with complete strangers. He ate with the religious community, including their leaders. He ate with the undesirables of their society, the sick, the poor, the prostitutes, the tax collectors like Zacchaeus. The more you read through the Gospels, the more you see evidence of Jesus' everyday life and ministry taking place around meals. See, these became opportunities for Jesus to teach and to create connection, to get to know people and allow them to get to know him. It was through hospitality that Jesus taught and modelled the new covenant that he came to bring in, a covenant based on grace and love rather than the law. A favourite verse for many of us is John 3:16. And we often forget the first part of this verse. But it's the first part that the second half hinges on. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. When Jesus shared a meal with someone, he demonstrated this new covenant life in the kingdom of God. He identified himself with the person. He showed his acceptance of them, his equality with them. He embodied God's grace and righteousness and showed people this new and better way of life. A life based on love for God and love for each other. Can I say that this was so not expected by the people? And in Matthew 25, we see through a parable that Jesus tries to unpack this for the people. And so he explains that the people who are going to be welcomed into the kingdom of God aren't necessarily those who appear to be keeping the law by attending synagogue regularly, by showing their giving of tithe, by appearing to look good in society, but it will actually be the people who practice hospitable behaviour. He said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. He says, when you did these things to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you actually did it to me. Do you notice that these are all acts of kindness and mercy? They're things that weren't done by people to impress God or impress other people. They were simple, simple things. Simple things that come out of a deep love for Jesus. A love that leads to these acts of compassion. And it's to those people that the King says, welcome, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the creation of the world. It's to these people that Jesus is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, we get so caught up in the law keeping, in the religious acts, that we overlook these simple acts of kindness and compassion that Jesus really wants. We take what seems like the easier option of ticking religious boxes rather than stepping out of what is comfortable and safe, which is about showing grace and mercy. But I want to say that the early church chose to step out. They went on to follow Jesus' example by sharing meals and inviting each other into their homes. They imitated this new covenant way of life that Jesus had modelled to his disciples. And in the second chapter of Acts, we read these words. All the believers, not some, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Through hospitality, the early church showed the equality of the kingdom of God. And they did that by overcoming barriers of difference. They included every person, regardless of their social status. They might have been a slave or a free man. Regardless of their gender, regardless of their age, their ethnicity, or their culture. And guess what? People noticed. Through hospitality, they showed their love for God by loving each other, by making sure everyone felt welcome, felt comfortable, felt like they belonged. And guess what? People noticed. Through hospitality, they created bonds of fellowship that enabled them to stand strong against persecution. They prayed and shared communion with each other. They remembered Jesus and his sacrifice together. They communicated a powerful message of intimacy and unity in an otherwise broken and divided world. And guess what? People noticed. The community around them noticed. Their life was different and it stood out. And people came to know the truth about Jesus. And within a very short space of time, their small community of 120 grew to the thousands. Never underestimate the power of hospitality. In Hebrews 10:25, we read, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." You know, these words, they follow on from the writer saying to readers, think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good deeds. So I think here this is talking about more than just meeting together on Sunday for an hour. This is about making it a habit to meet together for encouragement and support. Making it a habit to share life and care about each other, meet each other's needs. And I want to say that this is never going to happen just by sitting here together for an hour once a week. It needs much more than that. As leaders, we try to create opportunities to help make this happen, to help facilitate this. So we make sure there's morning tea to draw us together. We have a monthly shared lunch where we encourage people to just bring something to share. Each term, we have what we try to call dinners for eight, encouraging people to meet in homes. We have connect groups, other different activities that we put on. But people need to choose to engage in those activities for them to be useful. People need to choose to be part of that if we're going to create community and bring encouragement and provide support and care. On your chair when you came in, you will have seen a postcard. I want to ask you to just get that now. Everyone should have one of these postcards. And I'm going to ask you to turn it over because on the back, it talks about our values. And these are things that as a church, a number of years ago, we said we believe that these are things that are valuable to us. The Bible, hospitality, and cultural diversity. And I'm going to ask now that we read out together what is written under hospitality. So let's read it out together. We are committed to hospitality. When you come to West Ryde Community Church, you can expect a warm welcome. You can expect people to take a genuine interest in your life, offering personal and practical care. You can expect people to invite you into their lives. Does that ring true for you? Is hospitality something that you personally value or that you think our church should value? Do you practice hospitality, something that we say we value? I mean, look around you. How many people that are sitting here have you welcomed into your home? Have a look. How many people that are here have you welcomed into your home? I'm not going to ask you to say that because I won't embarrass you. How many people have you shared a meal with in the last 6 months? Shared a meal with, maybe it might have been in our shared monthly meal. It might have been in a cafe, in your home. How many people have you actually sat down and shared a meal with? See, we're good at welcoming people here on a Sunday. And we're pretty good at including them and talking with them over morning tea, and that's great. But what about after that? You know, in the video, we saw people get out of a lift and then go into their own separate spaces. Something we all do. But you know, as I watched that, I had this glimpse of what it must be like for people who come into our church and who join with us, but then they're left standing alone where we all go. When we all leave and we leave with each other, or we leave and we go off to our own homes. And it struck me about how lonely that must be. How unwelcome. How uninclusive. How unloving that must seem. It struck me how unlike the kingdom of God that is. We have lots of people here who go home to an empty house, not just on Sundays, but on every day. People who don't have a family or who don't work, have a network of friends like many of us are able to enjoy. I mean, what would it say about us as God's family if we said that was okay? Can I say that as I look out and I see empty chairs, I know that one of the reasons that many of them is empty is directly related to our lack of hospitality. Now, yes, there are people who work on Sundays. Families with children who play sport on Sundays. There are people not here because they're sick or who are away on holidays. And I'm sure there's other reasons as well. But I know that there are people that have come into our church family that have been welcomed in but not included in our everyday lives. And over time, they have drifted away and gone somewhere where they are included, where they are cared for. And sadly, tragically, I know that some have just left and not gone to any church family. Now, I know that some of us are better at hospitality than others. But I want to say that for most of us, it's only going to happen if we're intentional about it. It's easy not to be intentional. It's easy to just hope that someone else is covering that the leaders are, the pastors are, the extroverts. Someone else will do that. And can I say that I'm sure every one of us could very easily find reasons to justify why we don't invite people into our homes. In fact, what's some reasons why you might not invite people into your homes?
You can't cook.
I can't cook. There you go. Spoken by my husband. Thank you. Any other reasons? Not focused on me. House is messy?
Busy?
Why else?
Quiet personality?
House is too small? Let me tell you some of the reasons I came up with. Too tired. don't have enough money to provide a good meal, small house, or I share my house with others. I'm shy and introvert. My English isn't very good. I'm not a good cook. I'm a very private person. It's not something my culture does. I live too far away. I'm busy with family and work. You might have some that you can add to that. And I want to affirm it and say that there is some truth in all of those things. Because you know what? We do get tired. We do like time on our own or with our family. We are busy. Some of us are shy, don't speak English well, don't feel confident with people we don't know well. I've used most of those excuses myself. But there is no getting away from the fact that Jesus practiced hospitality. It's a fact. And what did he say? He said, imitate me. Do what I do. If you're going to be one of my followers, do the same thing I do. Jesus did hospitality. We should too. The early church did. And can I tell you, they had it much harder than we do. In Romans 12, Paul tells the church in Rome, he says, always be eager to practice hospitality. So clearly they weren't always eager. Peter wrote to the churches and he said, continue to show deep love for each other. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Peter and Paul wouldn't have written these things if they were excelling at hospitality. They write to remind them, this is important. Hospitality is an expression of our love for God and for each other. And I want to say it is desperately needed in our world today. Because our world, our community, even here in West Ryde, is so full of individualism and full of independence. We live in a world that encourages people to live for themselves, that encourages you to be private, to put yourself first and to only do what suits you or makes you feel good. That's what the world's telling us. And I can't tell you how opposed that is to what we find in Scripture. How opposed that attitude is to the words and the ways of Jesus and the kingdom of God. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to start a series, and I promise we will, on being the church. And we are hoping that for the 4 weeks of that series, that everyone will agree to join a small connect group that is going to meet for those 4 weeks, once a week, to talk about the things that are raised about being the church. My hope is that some of those conversations will take place over a shared meal in someone's home. James is going to host one of those. Helen's going to facilitate one of those in Morell's house. And there'll be others. And next week we'll put notice out about what nights or what time during the day those groups will take place. We're hoping that for 4 weeks people will be able to put aside a small amount of time to be able to talk about being the church. And that some of that might go around a meal. See, if we're going to be a healthy, growing church, then we all have to engage in hospitality, whether that's as a guest and or as a host. Imagine if we each chose to set aside one of the 7 nights in the week that we have to share a meal with someone else. 6 nights for you to watch TV, to read a book, to exercise, to sleep, to spend it with family, whatever it is that you want to do, 6 nights for you and 1 night for Jesus. 1 night to spend sharing a meal with someone else as an expression of the kingdom of God. Imagine what a difference that would make to our church family, But imagine what a difference it would make to the broader community around us. Because guess what? People would notice, just like they noticed the early church. That meal might be you with a friend. It might be you taking a friend so you feel a bit more confident and comfortable and meeting with someone else. Some of you here know that that's a practice Rob and I do. Scott is often someone that we invite to share meals with us when there are other people coming in, because Scott's good at talking with people. So it takes the pressure off us. This isn't something you have to do on your own. If your home is too small or too far away, go to someone else's house and take the meal with you. Or meet in a local cafe or restaurant or park. Jesus ate in homes, on the hillside, it doesn't matter. Be committed to going across to morning tea and talking with people. Coming to our monthly shared lunch. Being in a connect group for more than just that 4 weeks. Don't do it for me. Do it for the sake of the church. Do it for the sake of the community around us coming to know Jesus. Let's be a church that is committed to practicing hospitality, to seeing the amazing difference a meal makes. Why practice hospitality? Because Jesus did, and he's told us to do the same. How do we do it? By making ourselves available and accessible to God and each other, inviting each other to share a meal and share our life. Let's just pray. Lord, it's amazing how something so simple as eating a meal can in our minds become something so difficult. That our fears and our insecurities can stop us from being obedient, can stop us from living out your new covenant way of life, your way of life that is based in your love for us. Lord, we ask you to forgive us that we allow these things to stop our obedience, and we ask you to help us to do better. We ask you to help us to support and encourage each other to be hospitable, to open up our homes, to open up our lives, to not allow these reasons, these excuses that come into our mind from stopping us from sharing the love of God, the love of Jesus with others. We ask you to help us to be faithful. We ask you to help us to be true to the things that you ask of us, so that the people around us can come to see and to know, to consider and understand that you, Lord Jesus, died for us, that you came to offer us a new way of life in the kingdom of God, a kingdom that welcomes every person, regardless of their background, regardless of their lifestyle, because you loved us and you sent your Son to die for us. Help that to be what motivates us to be hospitable. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.